Hello, it's Jane Hamill, and thanks again for joining me. This is so much fun. This is a great podcast episode because I have some special guests, and I'm going to introduce them to you in just a few minutes, but I want to update you on a couple things. At the time of this recording, I'm getting ready for my big event in Chicago. It's a live event just for new designers. And I'm so excited about it. It's coming up on June 18th. That's a Wednesday. And it's going to be updates on 9 steps to launching your business. 9 steps to launch a business, a fashion business. And I hope anybody who's interested can join me. Just Google that up. Go to Fashion Brain Academy and look under events. You'll see it there. Check it out. It includes a lot of cool bonuses and a fun live event. So let's dive into the content. Today, it's so fun when I get guests on my podcast. It makes it even more fun. We're going to be talking about how to find the right person to sell your work. A lot of designers and artists and all kinds of people are struggling to get enough customers and to get enough people to be spending some dough on their stuff. So I have enlisted my dearest older sister, well, no offense to my middle sister, but my good friend and sister, Ruth Hamill, is going to be on the line. And we have her superstar salesperson, Amy Tuttle. Amy and Ruth, are you on the line?
We are.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for coming. I am so excited because it's a rare thing when a really creative person finds the right fit with somebody who really can just totally digs her product and wants to go out and sell it, and it's working and it's happening. So you guys are just a doll and a doll to come on the show. So thanks.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Oh, you guys rock. All right, so Ruth, I'm going to start with you. Tell me, we're going to lead off with just who you are and what is it that you do.
So I'm Ruth Hamill. I paint. I've been, it's a second career. I was in marketing PR for many, many years and then started painting and found that I could do it. I was tapping into education in college. I studied graphic design and had a minor, so I had all the underpinning for it, but I had never painted. Until it's almost 10 years ago. So I started painting, and people around here where I live in Manchester, Massachusetts, which is north of Boston, they liked them. I had a friend who lived down the street who worked in a gallery, and she said, "Wait, you painted these?" And she helped host a first show after I'd been painting about a year, and I sold a bunch of paintings. And so I kept painting and changing what I was doing and experimenting and applying to shows. Outside of my local area, national shows even, developed some different bodies of work that were beyond, painting boats in the harbor, nothing against that, but it really pushed pretty far beyond that. And then I decided I needed to take a few years, a good amount of time, and I ended up taking just about 3 years after being on some residencies where I had concentrated time to just paint. After that experience, I decided what I really needed to do. I could go to graduate school and work on an MFA, or I could take some time in the studio to develop my practice and really just concentrate on painting and not on painting and marketing and selling. So after 3 years, I had a bunch of work I was really proud of, and but it was piling up at that point. And then, no lie, Amy came over. I finally had a show here at my studio, like I had done annually or so. Sold a lot of pieces, and Amy was among the people who came over, and the rest is history. I'll let her tell you about that.
Awesome. And just can you just describe for people, first of all, your website is, so people can see the work, so they can get a reference. Thanks.
HamillPaintings.com. Hamill spelled like James. Painting.
You can tell we're sisters, right? No, you go. HamillPaintings.com, H-A-M, like Mary, I-L-L, paintings.com. And how would you describe your is it genre? I don't know the right word.
You know, all the work I do tends to be abstracted nature.
Ooh.
Really is based on the natural world, but then is heavily filtered through my own interpretation, and heavily, really strongly based on the materials that I use, which started, as I said, with traditional oil painting, and then went to diluted several different kinds of diluted oils on raw canvas, and now I've been working for the last several years in encaustic, but in a different way, using a lot of new materials that are available in encaustic painting, much larger than encaustic has traditionally been. And encaustic is where the pigment and the oil paints are embedded in wax. So I paint, it's a heat medium. It's, and I paint on canvas.
Fancy.
And now, finally, just in the last month or so, evolving to working on incorporating both the poured oils and encaustic. But always, I always go back to either the seascape or the landscape, even though I've done figures and portraits and everything else, I really gravitate toward the natural environment and my own interpretation.
All right. Thanks. Oh, Amy, let me hear from you because you are the other side. And so tell us, who are you and what do you do?
Okay. So thanks again for having me. I'm excited and delighted to be here, actually, because this has been a gift to me, I think, to collaborate with your sister. I had a background in marketing and finance for a long time, and then really devoted the last several years to raising my family with my husband, and worked a ton of nonprofit and fundraising and marketing. So I have a background in marketing, and not so much sales, but I always felt like I could sell if given the opportunity for something that I really loved. And when I came here to your sister's home last October, I walked in. I hadn't seen her in a while, and you know, I walked in and was absolutely stunned at the amazing body of work that she'd completed over the last 3 years. I literally could not keep my eyes off of it. And when she asked me a long time ago to help her with marketing five years ago, and I was so entrenched with my kids, I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And, you know, they say timing is everything, and the timing just couldn't have been better for me to start this new, you know, endeavor. And she and I sat down, and she and I always got along great, and I think that's a key element to a partnership. You know, we're friends. You know, but we didn't hang out a lot together. You know, it's one of those things where I have a son, one who's 17, and she has a daughter who's 17, so our kids didn't really hang out that much. But we were always sort of in the same circle. So we knew of each other, and I think that helped, you know, our comfort level and helped us sort of to move quickly into a business relationship. And it's just been a blast for me. Like I said, I just feel like it's been this gift that I'm able to represent your sister and her artwork, and go off and travel and go to these fabulous destinations to find galleries for her. It's been awesome.
So let me try to get a handle of this. So Ruth is a PR person, you know, for years and years, and certainly has no trouble with all the concepts and the ideas of PR. Yet I think it just got to be maybe, Ruth, is it just that you're just too busy to do everything, or you felt like you're either painting or marketing and switching back and forth and mental energy was too tricky for you, or what would you say?
No, I think I'm totally comfortable with marketing. I'm totally uncomfortable and really have no talent for at all sales.
Got it.
Amy is being really humble.
We haven't gotten to her really yet. I'm going to dig in on that. But, yeah, go ahead. So what do you mean? Yeah.
She thinks she could probably sell. I mean, she's really talented at selling. I mean, not at finding out and at client relations, and which I did decently well just by kind of hook or by crook. It was just, you know, kind of an outgrowth of the work. It was okay. She's a genius. I mean, she really understands what people need and how to reach them, and she's fearless. That I would say, I try to be fearless in what I can of what I'm doing, and that's the only way with art, or I imagine with fashion, you can survive and thrive is by putting fear away. But she's fearless in areas that I could never be fearless in. So,
I want to hear more about the fearless because we were just talking, and I've never met Amy for those of you listening except on the phone, but we were just talking. We were talking about something. She's like, well, I'm just going to pick up the phone and start calling people about that. And I was like, whoa, I love it. She's not even thinking twice. She's just diving right in. Okay, so Amy, let me just back this up. So you come to the party and you remember her asking you to help with marketing, and you're all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I'm in love with the stuff and I'm not as overwhelmed with the kids. So Ruth, did you ask her again? Would you consider helping me, or Amy, did you bring it up? How'd you work this out?
She asked me, do you want to know the truth? And I love this line. So I was at her home for this event. Actually, it wasn't a show that I was at. We were doing a surprise, like a ladies, a 50th cocktail gathering for someone who turned 50 who wanted something really low-key. So we just came over and had cake and a glass of wine. It was very nice. And that's when I came over and saw all the art. And I was gushing about it. I said, oh, my God, Ruth, I can absolutely see these paintings in a gorgeous home in Nantucket or on Cape Cod or in Kennebunkport, Maine. I could see it in so many beautiful homes. It's just amazing. And Ruth said, you could really help me. And I said, yeah, that would be really fun. And then I left. And the next morning there was an email with a subject line, was that the wine talking or did you really mean it? And I loved that. And I, you know, I think that, and it was not the wine talking. It was absolutely a fact that, you know, I felt very sincere about it. You know, you definitely have to feel it if you're going to go in and sell something and represent something, that you've got to feel committed and aligned with it. And I absolutely did with Ruth's work. I instantly felt this affinity and connection with it. So I just, part of it is just really
that is, I love that line. I'm going to steal that. I'm going to use that for us. So that's Ruth's, like, innate marketing talent right there. Was that the wine talking or did you really mean it? That's her subject line because she knows you're going to open that. I love it. Oh. But so tell me this. I've seen so many people say, oh, my friend's going to sell. My mom's going to sell for me. And it works for a little while. And then it like, eh. So how do you guys, I mean, maybe it helps that you weren't, you know, super close friends when you started. So you had a little bit of a distance, which could be really helpful. But how did you decide, okay, here's what I'm going to do for you. Here's what I'm not going to do. Did you guys play it loose? Did you have a contract? How did you work it out?
We did, you know, that time when the first meeting that we had, we did sort of sit down, maybe it wasn't the first time or the second time, we sat down and really, we said we were going to put it in writing, but we never did because it's working so well, it's been fine. But we did map out my role, her role, and financially how, your sister put it in writing. I don't even remember. I don't even pay attention to it because I'm having so much fun.
But if
I don't.
If you needed it, it would be there.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Your sister was really good out of the gate about doing that and saying, okay, this is my role, this is your role. If painting style, you get this, I get that. And she was even smart about doing it over long term. Like, let's say Amy, you get sick of this and you don't want to do it anymore. You know, a year from that point on, if I still sell a painting that you somehow had a hand in getting it in a gallery, you'll still get X percent or whatever. So, you know, she was very specific about it.
If it's okay to ask, so you take a percentage of sales for, do you mind explaining that or just the pieces that you're comfortable explaining or maybe a little extra than you're comfortable?
Well, do you mind?
No. So I have no idea if this is how anyone else does it. Honestly, there are not very many in art, the art business, there aren't very many people like Amy. If there are people who are working with an artist, oftentimes it's a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And because there isn't a job. There's one person I was invited to a evening gathering with a bunch of other artists from a woman who proclaims to do this in Boston. And she found me through an organization
And, you know, she did her research and looked at the website and had me for cocktails and hors d'oeuvres. And then I never heard from her again. So I don't know if I farted or what the deal is. But I really wasn't. If I had been at, I could just tell she couldn't do for me what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
What I needed was somebody who could sell.
Right.
And I didn't need someone to come up with marketing ideas because I can do that. So, anyway.
Would you, in your mind, the difference between marketing ideas and someone who can sell, like just real quick, like how would you describe the difference between those?
Well, I can do, oh, we should do this. This is where I should be to sell. I can put together that plan. I can act on it. I'm not afraid of acting on it. I can And I have sold a lot of paintings myself, but it's because then I invite them to something, and then they say, I want to buy that. Other than that, I am so uncomfortable and just, I am clueless. I just don't have the gene of pursuing someone. And I mean, it just, that's what the difference is for me.
No, I know. I get it.
So
I grew up with you. It's just never been your thing.
I knew for years what to do, to walk into a gallery, connect with the person, present my stuff. I knew what to do. I knew what to do for like 5 years. I knew the work was getting ready to do that. I knew, and I could not do it. And I will do stuff. I will take chances, and I couldn't do it. So that's Amy will go into a gallery. She'll figure out the best. She will figure out the right gallery, which is the gallery or gallery.
I want to know this. So can I ask Amy the process? So let's say.
Oh, so anyway, Amy takes a cut off the top. First of all, the gallery gets 50%. I get 50%.
Okay.
And then then Amy gets 20% of my 50%.
Okay. Got it. Gallery gets 50% and then Amy gets 20%. And so if something sells, she gets paid. If nothing sells, that's that.
Right.
Yeah, typical of a sales rep in the apparel or accessories business as well. You don't get paid for how many doors you knock on. You get paid for how many doors say, yes, here's my credit card.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So then, Amy, can you walk us through your process? Because you've gotten Ruth into galleries quickly and quite a few. And what do you do?
It's, you know, Ruth gave me a great book that sort of laid out the groundwork about the art world because it was something actually that I wasn't terribly familiar with and understanding sort of the underbelly, the underpinnings of how the galleries work.
But can I just interact?
Yeah.
The great thing about Amy, which tends to be how I work too, she said, okay, I want to do this. She read everything she could. She read like 5 books that I had never heard of. She found the books, and I was like, I want to read that too. She read about the art, the history of art. It's a continued education, but she got a hold of every magazine she could. She got apps, so she, you know, also, I mean, it was, she educated herself and continues to, which is the way I work.
And so, it truly is a sign of a successful person. I mean, I don't mean to be corny, but every time you meet somebody and they're truly successful and you get to talking to them, they're like, oh yeah, when I first started this, I did this and this and this, and I went to this, and they learn everything about what they want to be. And what they want to do. So, all right, kudos to you, Amy. So you're reading the books, you're getting a feel for the art world, you understand, you love the products, and Ruth's like, I like these galleries, and you're probably thinking, I like these galleries, so what do you do?
So, and actually, you know, Ruth really hands over the whole, this gallery process to me. She really, like, actually doesn't say, I like this gallery. Well, I mean, we talk about galleries in general, but as far as me physically going out and targeting a gallery, she really doesn't have too much to do with it. And there's a couple of reasons behind that. So let's just talk about my process. So essentially, the best process that we've found, one that we read in a book and it turned out to be absolutely true, is that you're better off treating this like a cold call, meaning I don't call ahead and say, hi, I'm Amy Tuttle, I represent Ruth Hamill, da, 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 and I'm going to be in town, and do you have a moment to meet with me? I did that a couple of times, and I got the answer that you would suspect. gosh, we're awfully busy, and we have already committed to artists, and we're not taking anyone on. Send me an email with a file. You know, so where that goes, it goes in the trash. So that methodology doesn't work. So the way that I operate is that I will pick a town or a community that I think has legs to it as far as gallery art world, you know, connections. So, you know, when I first saw some of Ruth's work, it actually wasn't the ocean-based work. It was her mountain-based work. And I thought, oh, my God, this belongs in Vermont. I'm a big skier. My family skis. I said, I'm going up to Stowe. This is within weeks of, you know, discussing this. I threw a bunch of her paintings in the back of my Volvo and drove up to Woodstock, Vermont, and to Stowe, never having done this before. And I think that in this same method proved to work from here on in and continues to be, which is I walk around the downtown area, wherever it is, and Woodstock, Vermont is quintessential, you know, New England, it's lovely, and there's a good gallery presence there, art community. Walked around, peeked in windows, and I can tell, let me also say quickly, too, I go online first and see what's out there for galleries who are online. But need
you
to know
research,
that that helps. But there are a ton of galleries that I ended up finding that weren't even online or didn't come up when I Googled galleries in Woodstock or galleries in Charleston. The gallery that I got her in, which is fabulous, the Atrium Gallery in Charleston, wasn't even on my radar until I was walking around the streets of Charleston. So it's definitely, you know, there's a disadvantage in that when I go to a town, I don't know who's going to be there. Are they going to be open? Is the owner going to be there? Is the decision maker going to be there? So I pick my days to go. I think ahead about going the weekend before what I consider a big weekend, which was I went the weekend before Thanksgiving because I knew that they were kicking off ski season. So I was hoping that the owners would be there setting up, getting ready for the onslaught. And it turned out to be correct. Every time I went, the owners were there. And I go in, you know, quickly. I'll just say that when I go in, I don't go in with a bunch of bags looking like I'm a salesperson because I think that's an immediate turnoff. I come in with one small bag. I'm careful not to look like, because I'll instantly be seen as a customer, and I don't want to make them upset or angry or annoyed that they're talking to me about their gallery to sell me something when I'm here to sell you something. So I'm careful about that, not to let the conversation drag too quickly. For instance, I was in Nantucket 2 weeks ago, and I would walk in, and they would say, oh, are you here for the wine festival? And I said, no, I'm here for that, and I'm also, you know, I come to Nantucket a lot. I love it. But I'm also here looking for a partner in gallery to represent an artist that or show an artist that I represent who's very successful in the Cape Ann area. Her name is Ruth Hamill. And I'm actually just looking around, looking for maybe the right fit for her. And that, it kind of catches them off guard because I'm not saying, you need to talk to me. I'm saying, I'm here looking for a good place for my artist.
Yeah, you might not even be it, sister.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, that's great.
But I'm obviously very polite and nice about it. What it does is it opens the dialogue because I'm not being pushy. I'm being conversational. And there are times when I'll see an artist in a gallery that Ruth is in that I've got her in. I'll say, oh, we have an artist in common. I see so-and-so here. Ruth is in you must know Green Mountain Fine Art Gallery. And still, yeah, Ruth's in that gallery. So instantly I've built credibility that I'm not, you know, just walking in not knowing what I'm talking about, or that Ruth is not established, that she's, you know, other people like her work. So then that segues to, it happens every time. They almost always say the same thing. And I see the armor on them, and I call it armor because even though the conversation's open, they're still closed to me, and they're still, you know, suspicious of why I'm in there, thinking, oh, what a pain in the neck. I've got to talk to this girl. I'll say, I'm in town. I'm looking for a gallery for her, and they'll say instantly, well, as you can see, my walls are chock-a-block full. Every time. And they use the word chock-a-block. It's hilarious.
I got to tell you, and I'll interrupt you for one quick second, to say that this is exactly like trying to get into a boutique with your clothing or jewelry. It's exactly. You get the same response. And if you push at them, they move back. And if you back off, they move forward.
And the other thing is that in their mind, they're instantly thinking, oh, this isn't going to be more work for me because now I've got to figure out a place to put this person.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow you've got to work around that mindset of, no, this is a good thing. So they'll say, my walls are chock-a-block full. I just don't have any room for any new artists. But because they'll always feel bad. You know, no one has ever been blatantly rude to me and said, we're good, you got to go.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry. It's never, ever been like that. I'd say, people are decent for the most part and polite. And so what ends up happening is somehow they'll say something like, well, we're not taking any new artists right now, but you could send, or my wife's not here. So what they're doing is they're saying eventually they take on new artists.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'll say, so when do you take on new artists? How do you do that? And that opens up that conversation to the process of taking on new artists. And I'll say, you know what, I'll always say this too, and this was in that book that I read, and it sounds so cheesy, but it works. I just drove in from Boston. When I was in Charleston, South Carolina, I just flew in from Boston today looking for a gallery. All of a sudden I have cachet because I've traveled to them, I've come from Boston. So the way you position why you're there, it's like, I don't know why that helps, but I always try to say, I just flew in, I just drove in, and I think that helps. So what I'll say is, the reason why I'm saying that is, gosh, I just flew in from Boston. Do you think you could just take 1 minute to look at her portfolio book that I have here? Just take a peek. Maybe you'll see something you like or not. And I'll be on my way. I've got a couple more calls to make. They'll always say yes. When they look at the book, they start opening the book. And this is where I always say about Ruth, I can talk my way into anywhere. But once they see the artwork, if it's no good, then I'm dead in the water.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
So I'm lucky that her work stands on its own just about immediately. So while they're flipping through the book, that's when I pull out and I had Ruth make me a smaller painting that I can actually put in a bag. It's very inconspicuous.
No way.
And I show them the actual artwork. I'll put it in front of them, and the armor comes off.
You actually put a piece in your bag. I did not know that. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Because her work, and you'll go online, and I hope everyone who's listening takes the time to go on the website and look at her artwork because it's amazing. But it's hard to capture the essence and how spectacular her work is, the texture, how visceral it is via a photograph. So when you see it, you're like, holy cow. The armor comes off. Their eyes look at me again. They walk over to the window. It happens every time. They do it the same way. They walk over to the window to see the light, see natural light on it, and all of a sudden we've opened up the conversation. Now, sometimes I've had to say, one of them I had to talk my way in, which was, well, we really just don't have room for any new artists, but sometimes we put one painting on this one wall, and I'm like, well, I'd like to be that one painting. And he looked at me. And this is a guy who was actually painting. He's the owner, and I interrupted him painting.
Oh, geez.
And it kind of caught him off guard, and he said, you know what? Send me your biggest and best painting. And when Ruth's pieces are huge. Some of them are really big. Something, oh, my God, how are we going to get it there? But, so that particular gallery, I got our foot in the door with one painting. Since then, they've ordered three more. Smaller ones, because that painting was so huge, you really need to have wall space for it. As much as you love, 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 love it, you got to have a spot for it. So they love her work, so they took smaller pieces. Now, on the flip side, this is another part of it. Timing is everything. The gallery in Tiverton, Rhode Island, my husband's in sales. I went to Newport, Rhode Island, in late April. Part of being in New England, as it is in Chicago, you're waiting for everyone to defrost. waiting for these galleries to open because it's been so freaking cold with snow and ice and awful. So I went down to Newport, cruised Newport, and believe it or not, I didn't see any galleries I wanted Ruth in. I thought they were very traditional. Some of them were full of tchotchke crap, or jewelry and pottery and la, la, la. And I wanted her in real good, fine galleries. So I kind of left there a little crestfallen, and your sister's been warning me that I'm not always going to hit it out of the ballpark. So I left Newport crestfallen. I'm in the car driving home, which is only 2 hours away, and I called my husband, who's in sales, been in sales for years, and he said, you know, Aim, the last sales call is always the toughest sales call, and maybe that's the time to make one more. And I'm like, hon, I'm on my way home. I remembered a town called Tiverton, which another gallery owner in Newport told me about. As he's saying this, I'm seeing the sign that says Tiverton, literally, cross three lanes and get off. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. And so did you get in?
Yeah. It's the most charming gallery you ever saw.
Oh,
and
my
they
gosh.
Happened to be completely revamping and renovating the whole place, and they just requested 18 paintings that Ruth and I are delivering.
Oh, my God. You're taking
June.
Over the whole
and
gallery.
And a show, which is at peak season in July. That was timing.
Oh,
that was my husband
gosh.
Helping. You know, it's all it takes a village.
Oh, my gosh.
So there you
oh,
go.
I love this. I'm learning so much here. So let me ask you something then, guys. What would you suggest? Okay, so every designer I know is like, I just want to paint. I just want to do my craft. I just want to design. What would you suggest if you could give someone any advice or tips on finding their Amy? So like Ruth, for you, like, actually, I have these two last questions, okay? Where would you suggest, what do you suggest they do to reach out to find an Amy? And second, the question for you, Ruth, is, what was it like for you before Amy compared to what it's like now?
You know, so before it's more exciting. I like working isolated. I do, and I think it's important for the work to be isolated on my own and in my own head and according to my own aesthetic and not take other people's opinions and all that. But I do think it's important, and it's been important, and it continues to be important. But it's so much more fun now to have somebody to say, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, what do you think of this, here's this, you know, it's just so, and you can, I'm sure you've gotten the vibe that Amy's so positive, and it really is, it's uplifting. I feel like, I used to feel like, you know, if I do the next thing that I know to do to help me be successful and it works, then I'm done. Like, I don't know what else to do. I never felt like it was an endless possibility. I thought, if I sell the paintings I have, can I really sell the next group? I just felt limited. Now I feel limitless. That's the big difference. And even if Amy said, God forbid, you know, in a year or a day or 10 years, I'm done. This was great. I feel like now I could help. I could never do what she does, but the limits are gone. You know, that the world is becoming bigger and better.
Right.
So, but I think the only reason why I got to where the stars aligned and we began working together is because I just kept my nose to the grindstone and kept doing what I could do to try to move, you know, that pushing the ball up the hill with your nose. I kept painting. Everyone I've heard who's been successful eventually, they in a creative area, you keep doing producing work. That's the most important thing. And that if you keep producing work and you keep trying to get it out there the best way you can, you know, I always felt, you know, that if you build it, they will come. I always felt like there's got to be somebody who can do this with me. And
mm-hmm.
And
what's interesting is you both have been extremely creative and resourceful and fearless in the sense of where you're like, okay, this is how the regular art world works. Okay, you get a gallery, you do these choices. I'm doing it this way. I'm getting my own person who's going to represent me, which is not that, it's sort of, you know, in the fashion world, there are paid sales reps who are multi-line reps, but that's not really how it rolls in the art world. So I just got to hand it to you both for just doing something that's not typical. And I would also encourage anyone who's listening to think about what could you do that's not typical of what's going on in your niche. Because kind of who cares? Things are changing. You know, hello art world, hello fashion world. The internet happened, you know. So everything's different now. You know, I'm sure you're selling in a different way than you could have 5 years ago even with the gallery world.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It always it's funny that even when I look at, you know, the art that people produce, it's like, wait, they're trying to be like everyone else. I don't get it. It's art. That's the beauty of it. You can, or an entrepreneurial, you know, and you're in art / entrepreneurial area. So be artistic and be entrepreneurial. Really do things differently.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It.
It's hard, though. I mean, you know it's hard.
And tenacity, perseverance. It's set up for disappointment, so you might as well aim high. You know, I mean, the whole thing is creating any artistic pursuit is set up for disappointment. Any so you might as well aim high and keep at it because it's all upsides.
Oh my God, that's so good. I love it. So then, either of you, what would you say? Okay, I'm sitting here. I'm Ruth. I have a great line. I'm doing it. I'm doing my marketing. I mean, Ruth, you were doing your marketing. You were selling paintings. You just didn't have the reach and the audience that you're getting to now. So don't misunderstand, guys. It's not like Ruth just started painting and she got this great rep and Amy has changed her life to make it magical. Ruth has worked her ass off to sell a lot of her work on her own and done a lot of marketing and showing up and talking to galleries and having shows and winning awards. So, but Amy has just taken it all to the next level. I mean, like crazy. So if you're sitting there and you're, you know, Jane sitting at home designing and you're getting it out there, but you got nobody, you got nothing, you got no sales rep, what would you suggest?
I would, you know, part of it, I think why
this is Amy talking, right?
Yes, Amy.
Okay, hi.
Part of it why it works for me is that I love her work and I love the fact that all of a sudden I'm in the art world, which is just very cool to me. And I've always been in finance and fundraising and blah, so boring. This is much more interesting and motivating. There are so many people I can think of that love fashion, love, eat it, breathe it, but can't be a designer. I cannot be an artist. I'm not an artist. I'll never be an artist. I'll never be a singer or a piano player. I wish I could do all of those things, and I can't. But via this job and career, I can be a part of the art world. I would go out and look for someone who loves fashion, who's just bananas about fashion. And I'm thinking about bloggers. Is the first thing that comes to mind, or I don't know, like Fashion Institute students maybe, or, you know, I would just say you need to find someone who loves fashion, and I think that love can be so contagious so that when they walk into a store or a boutique, their enthusiasm and passion about you as a designer is just going to be channeled through them. And if you find someone who can channel that, it absolutely gets the store owner excited.
And so, and the other thing I would say I totally agree. The most important thing in finding someone to sell your work is that they love your work. They love it. They love what you do. They're as excited as you are about what you make. That's huge. And then would you look for somebody who has sales experience, or just really the most important thing would you think is they love the work?
I would say love the work first.
Yep.
I've never been directly in sales. Now I'm psyched I can put this on my resume so that I can add it to, you know, my skill base. But I never sold. It was in marketing, and I was always in customer service. So it wasn't direct sales. So I think you just, like, you got to have you need to be a hard worker. You need to be tenacious. You got to have moxie. And
the fearlessness, I think, is really,
yeah.
You're not a person who's going to be embarrassed easily or, like, even care if somebody were to make a comment that was not, you know.
Could care less.
Yeah. How do you get like that? Like, if somebody
Bring it. Is how I
bring
get
it.
Because I just try to be tough, and I'm not really tough. I don't know.
I think that she has a good sense of who she is and her ability to. With people.
And do you think that's easier, Ruth, because she's not the artist?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh my God, my favorite thing to talk about is my art.
my least favorite thing to talk about is my art, you know. So
yeah.
The other thing, what I was like, what was I going to say? I lost it. Sorry. Gone.
No problem. It happens. But you know what? The thing is, you have learned to be a salesperson that is very capable. But it's so wonderful that you don't have to do it now. You know, that's kind of awesome.
You know, Amy said, I think she alluded to it, that I don't have a hand at all in what galleries. Here's the big thing with which you have to. I really trust her. Trust that she's going to do a better job than I could do. That she's got great judgment. That everything, so that I don't want to mess with what she's doing. So that I think that's important, whoever you work with, that you're not feeling like, yeah, plus how long is she going to want to do it if I'm trying to second guess everything?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You know, this is huge. All right, so your tips would be looking for a partner. You look for someone who first loves your work, somebody who is interested in that field. So I hate boutiques. I'm never going to want to – I may love your clothes, but I'm not going to want to rep your stuff, okay? It can be a casual percentage of sales kind of thing. It doesn't have to be a super important, fancy sales contract. And they have tenaciousness, fearlessness, and that you leave that salesperson alone to do their job. Because I think you're absolutely right. I spoke to you, gosh, a month ago, and things were really heating up, and I was like, so what is she doing now? And you said, I have no idea. That's her business. And I was like, excuse me? I was shocked at how much you were empowering Amy to take ownership of that job, and it's amazing.
Good.
But I was just like, I don't know if I could have that level of, I don't know, I just, it's huge. Empower the person to take over and do their job. Is there any last thing that I forgot to ask or anything you wanted to mention to anybody listening?
I don't think so. This is fun. Yeah.
Was there anything that hasn't worked? Have you tried something that was like, oh, well, I'm not doing that again?
Well, I think maybe because we're – oh, sorry. I think because I credit that we kind of each know our limits. We're older. You know, we're mm-hmm. – she doesn't look older, but she is. We know our limits. We trust ourselves, and so we're not trying to do like she wants to play to her strengths. I want to play to my strengths, and she's really honest. This we haven't said, but she has a strong character. She's a very honest person, and are kind. No, and I try to be those things too. So there, that helps to build, you know, the trust so that we can be honest with each other without getting our feelings hurt or, and that there's a genuine respect. So that's pretty hard to find.
Yeah. That is pretty hard to find, but it's out there.
It needs to be like someone you kind of know maybe already, which is why it worked so well and quickly for Ruth and I. Again, we didn't travel in the same circles. So to speak, we knew of each other for years because we lived in the same town. So maybe think about those people that you know. I mean, I didn't have a background in art, but it worked. So I don't know if that's a deal breaker. I think you just have to have a passion for it, a love for that.
Oh, I know, negative. Oh. It takes time. Everything takes time. It's a slow build. It's baby steps. It's not – I think people in art, artists think if you can find a sales rep, if you can find a gallery, then everything, the whole world opens up and it's all pretty clouds and everything. It is so absolutely 100% not true. It's every part of it is baby steps and incremental.
Yeah, back to that perseverance.
I mean, that's a negative. That's a reality.
Oh, that's the truth, sister. You are speaking the truth. But anyway, you guys sound amazing. I love your work. And honestly, your website looks amazing. But anybody, I mean, just to be honest, it's like 60% as nice as, I mean, it's got nothing on the actual work. Like the real paintings are so amazing. It's hard to get it, the pictures through the, I'm going to take a picture of one of my pictures and put it up too on the blog. So anyway, thank you guys so much for joining me. I learned a lot today. I hope everybody listening has learned a lot today. So thanks So I don't even know how to thank you guys for taking time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ah, you're the best. All right, guys. So tell me this. What did you learn today that you didn't know yesterday? What was your favorite part about the podcast? I'm starting to think my I'm torn between it. My walls are chock-a-block full. Or was it the wine talking, or did you mean it? Oh, I love it. Those are good lines, good stuff. So I think we should spend a lot more time together, hopefully after a glass of wine someday, guys, when I'm getting out there to Boston. And thanks again. Thanks for listening. If you like the podcast, do me a favor. Share it with your friends. Click the like button. Feel free to post it on any art or design or fashion blogs and sites and things that you like. I'd love it, and I'd appreciate that a lot. And thank you so much for coming and taking time out of your very busy day to listen to the podcast. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. What did you think of the podcast? Let me know in the comments on the blog. Have an awesome day, and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.